Come on, I gotta get one from everybody. Hey!
Drum roll!
What's up?
What's up?
Randy, can you show your please show your face, Randy? I'm dying over
here. Okay, all right. Well, hold on. We're doing a thing. So
we got
a lot of things.
Is that how we're gonna start? When Randy's just like he's gonna do his and just undo his video.
We got a lot of things and stuff to talk about today. But first thing and stuff is why my camera is not on. And I told the boys during the week that I have a surprise for them, and I'm going to reveal it now.
If he shaved. Hold on.
Bro, no, don't tell me.
Don't tell me.
I'm just getting a little...
Oh!
Oh!
Shit! He's barely the bearded ginge now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
Oh, my God. I shaved, and it froze everything.
Dude.
There it is.
Randy.
You broke
it. Looks good,
Discord.
Man.
Right?
I think that looks really good.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, man.
Holy!
I was not expecting that, Joe. Why didn't you mention
that? We discovered
earlier?
I have a neck.
What?
I wanted to just save the surprise.
Dude, look at that! Look at that chin. The chin's so defined now. Holy! I haven't seen your neck before, Randy.
Chiseled chin.
This is crazy.
I turned my video on and it broke.
Everyone
everything.
Is frozen.
Yeah, me too.
They're frozen for me too.
I'm not frozen. Randy seriously broke it.
Randy, can you even hear us?
Randy, you broke.
This is great.
You broke the internet.
Damn.
I broke the internet.
Like, literally, you broke the internet.
By shaving my beard off.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I think
we're good.
I forgot what I was going to talk about now. Nope. Randy, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Randy, now you just need a all cool right, haircut.
So, I know. It looks sexy.
No,
I got
so
a haircut.
You need, like, a style.
Dude, oh, yeah.
Get all the ladies crawling.
We'll see. We'll see. We got one step at a time. I will say, I got some different looks at the gym the last couple days.
Hey.
So.
Nice.
Wait, this homeless man's not homeless? What?
No.
This homeless man has a gym subscription.
He
doesn't just show up here.
Yeah.
He's not using it just for the showers? What?
Oh.
Confused. Anyway. Hey, Randy. Nice shirt, dog.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Shirt's looking nice.
Yeah.
Do we still have some shirts?
Hey.
We still have some shirts?
We still got shirts.
Yeah.
Fourth wall. Third wall.
Small and large is.
Fourth wall?
Cool. Anyway. Now that the internet has been unbroken, you look good.
Sorta.
We've established that you look good.
Specimen.
Which has never been established before. Because
we do have to realize that there are people who aren't actually watching this right now and that are only listening and are probably very confused.
Yeah.
If you Randy, explain.
We'll just delete this part, so this will be like a special feature just for people who watch the video.
Yeah.
Dude.
So if you're just listening. Jared's mind is blown. If you guys are just listening right now, I shaved my beard.
I'm kind of attracted to Randy. I'm not gonna lie.
Bro,
I'm getting a lot. I am getting a lot of light from the sun over here.
You're mine.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you were being serious.
Have
for
I
a
interrupted
second?
The bromance?
I was like, oh, bro, no, I was kidding.
Chris is gonna have to grow a beard now to compete.
I can't.
You look. I didn't think you looked old before, but you do look younger.
I think so.
You look
I had
like
a few
sexy
people tell me
lumberjack.
I look older. I'm like, I understand.
Like, you look like the person the MILF hires to come chop wood.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Okay, there's the line.
Chop some wood.
There's the line. We found it.
There it is. Yep.
Right. Yeah, so you cut, like, what, 7 inches off of your beard? I don't know how long your beard was. It was glorious, though.
8 inches.
Dang.
All 8 inches.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Stop
you
took all 8 inches.
Stop trying to compensate. Yes. Dude, we all in twos average. It's okay.
All right.
Who cares?
That's two sex jokes right there. All right. So I'll stop.
Innuendos.
Yeah. I think that's that two is a lot for the intro.
All right.
We haven't even started yet.
What are we talking about today, Randy?
All right. So today we're going to talk about what would you tell your teenage self? Chris, what would you tell your teenage self?
Thanks a lot, Bill Bro Baggins. I got some ideas on this, right?
Hey, it's going to tie into one of my stories.
Right. My biggest thing, you know, I've learned a lot through my years of wisdom, all 27 of them. Don't be afraid to leave your comfort zone. If I could go back to my teenage self before I moved to Delaware and all that shit, like, don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone, because you're going to grow so much and you're going to actually enjoy it. And life opens up, and the experiences you get, you had never thought you'd be here. Like, I never thought I'd be in Nebraska ever. Here I am. And I never knew you guys. and I left my comfort zone, and here I am. So it's cool. That's my biggest thing. And I think, like, a lot of people can relate to that. I mean, unless you're Randy, you just never left home. But, you know.
Shut up. So now what do you consider to be your comfort zone, though? Is it just your home?
No,
like, just where you live?
So you don't want – say you don't go out dancing at the bar, right? You just get a little boozed up, and then you try to go dance. Right. And then who gives a shit, basically.
Who gives a hoot?
Yeah.
No.
It's awesome. Like, get out of your comfort zone. You get – like, do stuff alone. Like, I'm learning this year specifically to do stuff alone. And it's great because I'm not comfortable doing it, but I'm enjoying it, and I'm learning from it. So it's pretty cool. Like, I want to go snowboarding alone. I want to go travel Europe alone, and I think it'd be great. So that's getting out of my comfort zone because I always like going with friends. So it's just totally different.
So just do what you want to do and don't think about those little details, such as being alone or anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, don't let other people control what you want to do. Just go do it.
And also, like, doing something is better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's also, like, that can define it pretty well, getting out of your comfort zone.
For sure. Yeah. And I live by that every day. Like, I just don't, I don't know. If it bothers me, I'll just get over it. So it's cool.
Don't feel self-conscious to talk to someone.
Makes you more
self-conscious to dance at the bar, like you just said. Yeah. Just do what you want to do. Don't. Who cares what other people care? Like,
and
think about.
Honestly, like, it's an attractive trait. Like, if you're confident in yourself and, like, not afraid to leave your comfort zone, people realize that. Like, that guy's cool. Yeah. Like, I want to hang out with that guy.
Yeah, and Joe just said that. It builds confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you just say that? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Yeah, he said it, and then you went on to say it.
Oh, shit. Nice. You planted that seed in my brain. Nice.
Oh.
Sick. How about you guys? What's up?
Well, I have one. This one, I think this is the most difficult question I've had to answer on the podcast. Which
over your breakups?
Yeah, like this one. No, I mean, if you think about it, you have to choose like one thing. Like one piece of advice.
You
out
one
of
shot.
All your life. Out of all my 25 years.
One opportunity.
Isn't
thank you.
I like the Eminem reference. I like it a lot. I mean, you have one thing to choose out of your whole life, one piece of advice.
True.
Like, I had to think about it for a while. And so, like, what I thought of is orient your life. So figure out, like, you know, figure out where you are in life, and then set the path.
Damn.
And so I was thinking about, you know, how to explain this. And the one thing that kept on coming back, Talon, I know you're going to appreciate this. I think some of you, I think all of us will, is, and you said, Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about Frodo. I'm going to talk about Lord of the Rings a little bit.
We didn't even plan that.
So, yeah, we didn't plan this.
Sick.
I kept on thinking about when Frodo had to travel through the Mirkwood Forest. Bilbo Baggins. Yeah. And so he has to travel through this forest, and the forest is 250 miles wide and 600 miles long.
About tree fitty.
And this forest is, you know, it's just rot and overgrowth. And there are streams going through it that are enchanted that cause slumber and forgetfulness. And the trees are like, I don't know, over 100 feet
there.
100 feet tall, and the canopies are so thick that no sunlight can get through. So it's like this dark place, right? But Bilbo Baggins has this one thing. He has this this little vial, which is a light, and it was given to him by this elven queen. And he has this light, and it's this thing that's guiding him through this forest. And, you know, that light basically is who you want your, like, who you want to be in life. That's the light. So maybe your light's a little dim, maybe your light's really bright, who knows. So, you know, you're traveling around and you have this light guiding you, and maybe you decide to look around and look back, and you look behind yourself and there's no path because you've just been stumbling through life in this slumber because you haven't taken the time to really orient yourself, to orient where you are in life and like where you've come from. So there's no path behind you. Like, you're just sleeping basically. So I think orient yourself. It can be depressing. Like, you're probably going to be depressed for a couple weeks, and I don't use the term lightly. You're going to be depressed because you're going to look back at your life, and this is why a lot of people don't want to do it. It's because you're going to see sin
you're going to see addictive nature. You're going to see wrongdoing. You're going to see missed opportunities to do good. This is why a lot of people don't truly reflect on their life. But what's also there is there's good. And that good is what's going to like make that little vial, that little light brighter and make you realize who you want to be. So hold that little bit of good close to you. And then when you're going through this process a couple weeks later, you know, that low feeling of being depressed, it's going to start to go away. You're going to start to feel better. And then, which brings me to my quote, like the main point that I want to get across is, actually, I'm going to pull it up so I don't mess it up. But
good call.
This is my favorite quote of all time. And it's by Stephen Grillet.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite quote of all time. Like, nice. Best one
bold
I've ever
strategy
heard.
Cotton.
And it goes, I shall pass this way but once. Any good that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall pass this way only once.
Damn, that's deep.
And
that's deep.
Yeah. It's so, you know, to do good, like you're only going to go this path once. So like you want to do any good that you can. And one thing that got me thinking about is a lot of people, I think pretty much everyone here can agree that the human nature is selfish. Like we're all pretty selfish. But then yeah. I started thinking of like an example to use for this. And as I was going through this example, I think that's false. I think our human nature is to help other people. So like, you know, you say you want to do good, like someone's in a bad situation and you want to help them. Like all of us have heard of bystander syndrome. And there's some pretty brutal examples of bystander syndrome, but I'm just going to give an example of one that's more relatable. So say you're in the drive-thru of a fast food joint and the drive-thru is packed, you know, there's 3 cars ahead of you, 3 cars behind you, and it's full on either side. And you notice like 2 cars ahead, there's a guy with a flat tire. You know, this guy driving Toyota has a flat tire. And your first initial thought, like your first one is, hey, how can I help this guy? Like he needs help. But then like a split second later, your next thought is someone else will take care of it. Like it's not my problem. Or like we can all agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Nobody got time for that.
So, and everyone around you is having the same thought process. Everyone, like everyone who sees that flat tire sitting there, they're like, maybe he already knows, or, you know, someone else will help him out. Like, it's not my problem. It's okay. Like, it'll be fine. And say you don't say anything and no one else says anything. You know, the guy drives home and pulls up in his driveway, and then maybe he notices then that he has a flat tire. Like, sure, he's fine, but how do you feel? Like, do you feel okay with having done nothing?
I mean, I got my McNuggets and my Shamrock Shake, so yeah.
But, okay, so I'm gonna flip the script. Okay. So say you notice the flat tire, same scenario and everything, same setting. And, you know, 30 seconds go by, maybe 60 seconds go by, and you're like, no one's helping, so you know what? You put your hazards on, put your car in park, and you get out, and then you, like, walk up to his car, you're like, wave to him or whatever, you know, be approachable, like, you know, because that can seem a little sketchy. So yeah, be tactful. And then, you know, knock on his window, wave, and then he rolls down the window and you're like, hey, so I don't know if you know this, but your back tire is flat. And he can say, he or she can say one of two things, like the first being, oh, I know, I'm about to go to the gas station and change my tire or fill up the flat. You know, that can be the first thing. Or another thing, the person can say, oh, I had no idea. Like, thank you so much for telling me. And then you just go about your day. And, you know,
Hi, Joe.
One thing, though, Randy. I guarantee if you're in this situation and, you know, there are a ton of people around you watching this happen,
you know, they all went through the same thought process. I guarantee someone's probably going to pay for your meal, you know? So bystander syndrome. Well, I say this because it's happened to me a couple times.
Experience.
Yeah.
Very nice.
This fucking guy.
Yeah. So any chance to do any good, you should do it because you're not going to cross the path again.
See, yeah. I do that because I can get an Air Force medal out of it. So,
I'm just kidding. So listening to that, I just want to emphasize that you're 100% correct. Saying like people's first thought normally is like it's a good thought. It's like, oh, that like that poor person, like they don't know that their tire's flat. Like that's your first thought.
Yeah.
I bet there's probably very, very few people in the world who's like, ha, look at that flat tire. No, like probably almost majority of the people are gonna be like, uh-oh, like he has a flat tire. But yeah, then they go into like, so that's their first thought. Like they care about the other individual, but then it's like, oh, someone else will get it. Yeah. But like as by nature, I think most humans are pretty selfless I mean, just in their first thought like that.
But yeah, it's that second thought that comes out like a split second later that tells you, oh, it's going to be okay. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not my problem. Someone else will take care of it.
It's not
They're
that bad.
Be okay. It's not that bad. But so I guess basically my whole point is like the way, and this is just the most basic way to make the world better, to make your life better and to create that path, because you oriented yourself now, right? You have that light of who you want to be. You're in this forest, and now you just need to set the path for yourself. And I think the basic way to do that is just like the basic way to create lasting and tangible change in your life is each day set the path. Like, who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? And are you going to take action? Are you just going to be a bystander? Like, what are you going to do? I think that's the most basic way to make the world a better place. And that's why that quote means so much to me, and that's why that's my one piece of advice.
I like it a lot. I'm just really hoping this mic doesn't pick up the dog slurping water right upstairs.
Probably will.
It will now that you mentioned
it's a dog.
It.
Yeah.
Bear's birthday is tomorrow.
Today.
Happy birthday, like Bear.
That's cool, man. That's a good point. I don't have much to say. You
nailed it
pretty well.
Yeah,
you freaking nailed it, dude.
I don't think there's too much more to say on that.
Yeah, it makes
other
me feel
than being
like,
repetitive,
it makes me feel like a nincompoop.
Hey, your advice is really good too. I mean,
oh, thanks.
A lot of people are just stuck in their comfort zone, man.
Yeah. So I guess I have something that kind of contradicts Jared.
This would be great, dude. You better take just
send it.
It's not like contradictory as in like don't be a good person, but it's more contradictory in being the selflessness versus the selfishness. So my thing that I would tell my younger self would be to be a bit more assertive and confrontational.
Beep,
so
beep.
Not assertive. So Randy's dying. But so what I mean by that though is that there's a lot of people who struggle with this, and myself included, is being a bit too passive in life, which allows people to kind of walk all over you.
Ish.
And you got to know when to step up to other people and kind of say or realize that you're being either mistreated or just being taken for granted
or overworked.
Like if you're always, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Like if you keep saying yes to literally everything and you never say no, you know, someone can, like ask you for help day in, day out, and they might not put in the same amount of effort. This happens a lot at work for me. And that's really off-putting, and you need to know when to stand your ground and kind of stand up for yourself. Happened to me back when I was growing up. I was just never confrontational. I never wanted to be the person to say, hey, this isn't right, or approach someone and tell them how I really felt, which, again, it's going to allow everyone to step all over you.
Yeah,
and I know I'm not the
I agree
only
with
one who struggles with that.
Yeah, no, I see that happen at my job a lot, with me included. And the big thing is when you say yes all the time, when you say yes every time, you know, when you get asked to do extra work and do something, all of a sudden it becomes the normal, and then it's not acceptable to say no. And then you're looking at it like, what's with the problem of me saying, no, I've done all this extra work, but to them, it's just become the norm.
Right, exactly. And that's not to say that you should, you know, never step up and try to be more than what you can be, but it's to know when you're being taken advantage of.
Right.
No.
100%. Yep.
Has anyone else struggle with that, or is that
just
in here?
Dude, yeah, I mean, I think everybody.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Unless you're just a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you gotta be a dick, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Honestly, like, trying to get at. You know, if I send a message to my friend group and be like, "Hey, let's go out drinking," and someone's just like, "No, I'm not going to go out tonight." That's fine. Like, that's them saying, "I just don't want to go out, so I'm not going to."
Yeah.
And who am I to say,
right,
oh, don't be a bitch, come out and hang out with us. You're like, you never come out. Like, who cares, dude? That's what they want
to
do. Like,
yeah. They're being honest to you.
Yeah, they're being honest.
It's better than them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people out there that just come up with an excuse, which, I mean, fine, like that, but you don't have to go through that much effort.
I would rather you just tell me, no, I'm not going because I don't want to, or then make up a lie like, no, I got to clean my house or some shit.
Yeah. It's like, we all know you're just watching Netflix.
No. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's a good point.
Right. What? Yeah, why torture yourself to do something that you don't want to do if, you know, you're really not up for it?
Yeah,
because at that point, you're kind of letting other people control your life and your actions, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yep.
And
take
control
of your own life.
So, like, you don't have to be an aggressive person to be active and not passive. However, I know, like, you know, a majority of aggressive people are naturally more confrontational and more active and less passive in conversation and stuff. But yeah, you don't necessarily have to be like that aggressive person. But yeah, I really like that point. Yeah.
I think it also ties perfectly into what Jared was saying before with his quote too, because if you're constantly doing things for other people and you don't have time to do the things for yourself, how are you supposed to find your path?
Yes.
When you're constantly helping out others, you know, how are you supposed to help yourself? You can't push yourself forward.
100%. And
yes.
So my
Hundo, dude.
So going back onto that really quick, my point is very basic, right? And it's just basically saying, try to be a good person. I mean, at the roots of it, that's basically what it's saying, how you could sum it up. And that's important because once you actually start having more control and more power in your life, you know, what's that going to be based off of? Is it going to be based off of something good or something like just completely selfish? You know, all these people who I like to argue a lot, especially with like politics and stuff, you know, they don't really have that basic practice of just being a good person, you know, of setting a good path for themselves and the people around them. So it's like, maybe you should figure that out. That way, you know, once you have more power later on in life or in your job, and you have more leadership, all of that is based off of something good.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to step up and be that confrontational person, sometimes, like, say when you're a leader and you have people who are working under you, there are other people who will try to take advantage of those who you supervise. And sometimes you need to be that confrontational person to stand up for those who are working for you.
Yeah,
so it's a quality point of a good leader.
Boom, nailed it.
Hell yeah, brother. Boom.
Nailed
yeah,
it. All right, I want to hear Talon.
Hell
he's
yeah,
pretty
brother.
Smart.
You want to hear mine? So I have a lot of
invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I have a lot of little ones that like honestly doesn't matter too much. But there's only probably one big one. So yeah, little ones like invest in Bitcoin at $5. Do it.
Oh my god.
I would have told my 13-year-old self,
do it.
Put all your money in it.
Everything you have.
Yeah, exactly. Study more, little things like that. But all that stuff doesn't matter too much. So for me, it really is just like, for me, the only thing that I would really tell my younger self is spend more time doing the things that you love and spending time with the people that you love. And even now, I tell myself that more and more. Like, for example, like you might not have the energy to want to go spend time with someone, but there's someday that you're not going to have that time to do it. So take advantage of it now. Like, I mean, just for example, like yesterday, I wasn't in a good mood. I just wanted to sit there and watch TV pretty much in the entire morning, but my dog was just like, I want to go on a walk. She was screaming at me. I'm just like, I don't want to go on a walk. You're so annoying. You're so annoying. But I took her on a walk and I just sat there in the park with her. And it's just like those little moments in life, because it's like someday, like 10 years down the road, you're not going to have those moments anymore. So you need to take advantage of that now. And it's just, you want to think back in those 10 years and think back at all those memories, whether it be your dog, your family, or anything like that. Because you can keep telling yourself, like, you can tell your younger self stuff like, oh, invest in Bitcoin, little things like that, buy property, do, like, go to school, do this instead, do whatever like that. But all of that stuff, that's just for little enjoyments in life. But the things that are limited in time is life. That's just it. And that's other people's lives, not just your own. So truly take more advantage of that. We talked about it, like, in losing, like dealing with loss episode a little bit too. Yeah. It's just like, take advantage of the time that you have with those people that you love in life, and don't get caught up in the day-to-day grind of the little things in life. Oh, I gotta make my money today. Gotta get that bread. No, just take that time off. Go spend time with your parents.
Are you telling us to not worry about money right now?
Dude, sometimes honestly, you have to just prioritize those things.
You aren't taking your money with you to the grave.
So. Yeah, exactly. Nope. But that's the thing, though. That's also one reason why money is so powerful, because money gives you options in life. It gives you that time back. Because guess what? Because you do need to live in life. But that's why we talk about stuff like the financial minimalism and stuff like that. Because if you wanted to, you could retire early. And instead of working up until you're like 70 years old, you could stop working at the age of like 30, and you could spend all of those years doing the things that you love, doing the things that you care about with the people that you care about, instead of worrying about those little day-to-day nuances of life, of just trying to survive. Like, yes, you still need money throughout life and everything. And I'm saying, like, even if I did retire, or whoever retired at like 30, you can still go work and go do whatever you want, go make money, get like, just do, but you have the option to do what you love at that point. Yeah. So like that's one reason why, like, yes, I do care about like earning money and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, life is limited. So spend that time with the people that you love.
You know, because, I struggle with that a lot, actually. I live 15 minutes away from my parents, and my mom just texted me, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. She's like, you know, it's been over a month since you've came to see me. I'm like, sorry.
Dude, I called grandma too. I called grandma yesterday, and she's like, I haven't even seen Joe for so long. I was like,
you know, I was on quarantine, okay.
I was like, well, grandma, he's working nights.
Joe Fist.
And like, he's on different schedule, which you are, but at the same time, you just call him Joe Fist. Yeah. I appreciate that. Joe Fist. Yeah, get your ass up there and go see grandma.
I agree. I do struggle with it, and I make a lot of excuses, but I need to focus on it more.
Shame.
Shame.
Cool. No, that's a good point though, Talon. It's like, it's there is limited time. That's one thing that's definite in this life, is that you only have so much time.
Yep.
So make the most of it. Be the best person you can be. Get out of your comfort zone. Make the most out of your time by not letting other people dictate your life. Boom! Hell yeah, brother. Randy, you're up. How can I wrap it in?
All right. So I would say my number one thing I would tell myself, and this was easy. This was easy. The second you guys suggested this, I thought of it right off the bat. Work harder.
Yeah.
Work harder at the things you love. Because there's always somebody who is trying to work harder than you. There's always someone who's trying to do better than you. And I use this example a lot, but I'm going to use baseball as an example again. I was very good. I was a very good baseball player. When you look at the overall scheme of things and the millions of people who are trying to make it, I wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I could have been, but I thought, oh, I don't need to put in the extra work. Talent alone will get me there.
Never.
No, it won't. If you want to do something big, if you want to do something like that, and that goes for anything, you know, anything that you love, do as much work as you can. Put in the hard work. Put in the extra hours. Put in the extra time, because you need to do those things for yourself. Because I think I could have been something big, and you know, I kind of squandered it because I thought I was good enough and I wasn't. So that's my one big lesson to myself, is just work harder. Put in the extra time.
I think people struggle with that in day-to-day life all the time, because it's so easy to get in the mindset of that, hey, I already worked hard enough today. I worked my 8 hours. I did whatever. I'm just going to sit, watch Netflix for the rest of the day. But man, it's tough. Like it's really, really hard to get out of that mindset. But the thing is, I think that once you do get out of that mindset and you just work and work and work and improve yourself as much as possible, that's your new hobby, that's what you enjoy at that point, and it just becomes part of daily life. Mm. It's just really hard to get out of that.
That's really good.
So would you say,
and it's like, super rewarding.
Yeah.
Would you say you need to be the best person you can be by taking time to do the things you love and working harder at them without letting people tell you what to do and get out of your comfort zone?
What? I think
that's the key to life.
So, Randy, I think
that's the wrap up. We're done.
I think I really like to work harder. And I think it's something that we see a lot. It's all over social media, is like work harder and the grind and stuff like that. I think a lot of people could really learn and maybe research delayed gratification. I feel like that would help a lot. Because people, like, I think a lot of, like, a big problem with our society today is everything is so instant. Bless you.
Instant.
Almost fell out of the chair.
Because everything, like, on our phones and stuff, you know, we don't have to send paper mail anymore. Like, we don't have to go through the post office or anything. We can, you know, get on our phone and in an instant we can video chat with someone, like, or text someone, connect with people. Everything is so instant in today's society. So, like, delayed gratification isn't really practiced anymore. And
what do you mean by delayed gratification?
Delayed gratification. So
I don't need a whole, like, Webster's dictionary. Just
like you put in work and you don't get a reward for it instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Like a so good you're story
it's okay
is
to not get a reward right off the bat.
People struggle with that.
Yeah.
Gotta get those likes though.
No.
And a good story or a good example is like with the Grammy nominations and stuff. I think it was Will Smith who got a Grammy. I'm not sure. That could be wrong. I don't know.
Probably
but
never happened.
His son asked him, "Hey, like, what did you get this for?" And he was like, "Oh, remember like 2 years ago when I was working really hard and I wasn't able to be home for a little while? Like, that's what it was." Hmm. So like that's him. Like, he went through, on a podcast and talked about delayed gratification and mentioned that story. It's really good.
Will Smith's actually, like, really smart.
Yeah. I mean,
gone through some shit.
My boy's big wicked smart.
Big smart. Wicked smart. Smart
pack.
Yeah.
But yeah. Work harder, I think, is so repetitively said online and everything like that. And everyone reads it and knows what to do, but it's the practice of actually doing it that nobody wants to do.
Because it's in the term. It's hard.
There's not a cheat sheet for it either.
I think the problem is people think they're doing it and they're not.
Exactly.
Like, I thought I was. I thought I was at the time. And I wasn't. And again, I'm using the same baseball example. I thought I was working hard enough to get where I needed to be, and I was not. And I think you have to realize that there's always more you can give.
You know So what stood out to me is, like, you know, at work when, like, you're grinding and you're stressed, right? Or, like, say you do AP classes in high school or something, right? Like, it's hard. But then you get to college and it's even harder. And you miss the time when it wasn't as hard as you thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's important to understand. Like, you can always go more.
Yeah.
So you can always still send it. Like,
you can always send.
Yeah.
I know Dwayne The Rock actually made a great speech about, like, working harder. Give me a second. But yeah, this man right here.
Oh my god,
bro! I love that.
He always has him on deck, ready to go.
He will be right here in the future. Don't worry.
Yes. Yes.
My inspiration. But I believe it was him who was talking about when he was up and coming, how he would only get like 4 hours of sleep a day because, like, he was always trying to be better than the person who was working against him, right?
But that's also
there's
hard.
Always gonna be. It is.
I need sleep. I value sleep.
Do you? Yes. Or is that sleep's
big. No, I fuck,
somewhat
I,
an excuse.
I need sleep.
Okay.
I can't function with
it. I feel like there's a lot of people, like, stuff like being tired and being like, a lot of it's very superficial. Mm. And once you put in the effort and the time and you just get into that habit and that routine, you realize, hey, I don't need 10 hours of sleep a day, because some people...
I'm not talking 10.
No, I know. Like, even 8 hours. Even 8 hours. Mm. Dude, like...
I need 8.
For the longest time, I got 8 hours. Mm. And then I just stopped. Like, I started doing 6 hours. And I'm just like, man, I have the same amount of energy. But guess what? I have 2 more hours to do stuff during the day. That's a lot of time to do stuff.
Bro, like, I physically cannot function with that.
Everyone is different with sleep.
There's a difference between tired and exhausted.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, but like a good example of this, I thought about this too on top of my analogy before, was the podcast. Like I, so for those who don't know, I'm in a hockey tournament. I played a game last night, played a game this morning, and then it's 2 o'clock here PM, and I have a game at 11:15 tonight. Oh, like I would rather not do this podcast today at all.
Yeah.
But I'm here doing it because I enjoy it and I'm gonna work hard at this because I believe in it. I want it to be successful.
Doesn't it also feel good to be constantly doing stuff?
It does. Yeah.
Like it honestly feels so great. I hate having downtime during the day because you just feel lazy. You don't want to, you're not inspired to do anything. It feels so good to constantly be on the move doing something.
I'm not gonna lie though. Like I am craving a day because I've been studying for that tech test for like past 3 weeks. Like every downtime I had, it was studying. I want to just like binge Harry Potter and drink beer all day. Like that's just what I want to do for one day. Yeah. Do absolutely nothing,
but
and cuddle my cat.
But that's what you like. You're thinking about that. You clearly want that.
Yeah.
You're not just like living. You're not just like living through a normal day and just like, oh, I don't want to work today. I'm just gonna sit here and watch Harry Potter. It's not just like a spur of the moment. But you're thinking about that. It's like I want this. Yeah. I'm gonna dedicate like, and you're probably planning it out. It's like I'm gonna dedicate this day to do it.
Yeesh. And that that is delayed gratification.
Yeah.
Like you're thinking of this day, you want a day off to just veg out.
Yes.
And but you're putting in the work. You know, you're sacrificing some sleep. Like you're putting in the work now so that way when you're done with this, everything that needs to be done right now, you can take that day.
Yeah.
Like you can do that. That's delayed gratification right
there. It's the birthday. Yeah. You're so smart today.
Yeah.
Oh, I see a dog.
You feel good about what you did in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And damn, thanks for making me not feel like a lazy fat piece of shit.
You earned it.
Thanks.
Yeah. And what was the other point I was going to make?
I don't know. Bear's here. Kind of threw us all off. Yeah.
Bear!
It's her birthday. It's her birthday. She can have camera time.
She doesn't, but...
but yeah. There's a bunch of good points that are being made today. And I think if anyone's younger than us, like even 20s, like, I mean, we're all in our 20s, but like just like 20, that take these, like... Honestly, listen to these and like you will go so far.
And I have to interrupt you for a second. I have to mention the or have to reference the like
Earl Nightingale.
Know your friends and the people you spend the most time with. That episode that we did on being around the right people, surrounding yourself with the right people, like that they will help push you. And you know, you have like a baseline of how hard you think you should work, Randy, like your point. And once you hang around with people who kind of like who work harder than you, then your baseline for the amount of work that you should do in the day, it goes up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And you work, hang around with, I can't talk anymore. I'm done. I'm out.
Well, that's a good point. It's done. Yeah. So here's something.
He talked a long time on his story before. Yeah. That was it.
It was huge.
It was long.
Huge. Here's the thing that drives me bonkers with you, dude, is I don't know how you do it. Talking about this sleep. It'd be like 10 o'clock at night. This man goes, hey, you want to go to the gym at like 6 a.m.? Like, bro, what? No, if I was going to go to the gym at 6, I would have been in bed like 2 hours ago. Like, why are you telling me this now? But he'll do it. Like, he'll wake up early on a lack of sleep and go grind and then still do a full work day. And I'm like, I don't get how you're doing that. But it's inspiring to see. So
I just like waking. I like waking up early because you can go a couple more hours without dealing with anyone's BS.
Yeah, no. So I play hockey day.
That's
8 a.m. on a Saturday. Oh, I left at 8. I played a game at 9 a.m. on Saturday, and I left at 10. And like it was nice and fresh air out. It was like 50 degrees. It was a little crisp. No one on the road still. It was Saturday morning. I was like, this is great. I love this feeling right here. Like the world is mine.
The world slows down so like early in the morning. No one's doing anything. Yeah. Businesses are closed. Like even at nighttime, bars are open, restaurants are open. But early in the morning, nothing's going on. It's your time to do whatever you want.
I challenge whoever's listening to this episode: wake up early one day this weekend. Like I'm talking 6-7 a.m. and then just go out and like go do something, and you'll understand how like calm the world is on a weekend morning. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That morning air slaps, bro.
Yo, yeah. Slaps hard, boy.
It really does, though.
Bottle it up.
Yeah. Sweet. So I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. We made a lot of good points, and we're not going to just drag it out just for the sake of hearing our voices anymore. So hopefully you like the video. Is Bear still by you?
Nah, she left.
Nah, she gone. We're going to put her on camera. Aww. She gone.
She was on camera. I got her nose.
She gone.
Nice. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, I did
see. Boop. Hopefully you guys found some value in this episode, and like I said, challenge you to do that and take what we say to heart, like try and do it. So thanks for listening.
All right, guys, this has been Lessons Learned. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and go follow our other social media pages linked in the description. From all of us here at Lessons Learned, have a good day and
see ya.